Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Time to deep dive into some company results, and this time around for a company and a business that really is one that sits at the heart of many South Africans. If you think about a bank that is for the people, by the people, serving the people, you'd know who I'm talking about. African Bank. Now, over the last few years, this is an entity that has really readjusted its strategy, accelerated what it's been titled, and fundamentally, through several acquisitions, has been able to restructure the organization to really be a diversified bank with multiple revenue streams and pillars to pull at, and searching for greater opportunities to leverage the equity in that space to improve upon its profitability. Despite that, net assets up by 17%, net income from operations as well before impairments also up to just over 7.6 million. And coupled with that, we also seen that total income before expenses also up by 5%. And because it's a bank, we do know that credit impairments reduced by 6%, a critical measure as well to ensure that you and I as banking customers are essentially paying the bank on time. To tell us more, though, is a man who knows way more about these numbers than me, Mr. Kennedy Pongane, KGB, joining us as the CEO of African Bank. Such a pleasure to have you in studio again, sir.
Gok, it's a delight to be here, and always a pleasure to share these news with Abomkhaya.
I'm always excited to speak to you because there's always something new and different that takes place within the organization when I touch base with you. And I recall just over 2 or 3 years ago, together with your staff, you know, actively participating in discussing what the strategy of Accelerate looks like. 3 years in, boy, have you been stepping on the accelerator. Because if we take a look at where the business was just post the pandemic to where we are now, chalk and cheese in terms of its growth, diversification, and standing in the South African market.
Well, I'm going to take you back, Gugu, because you've just this is quite seminal for us because it's also our jubilee. It's our 50th anniversary. And it's 50 years of audacity. Of a bank, as you've correctly put it, established by black entrepreneurs in the deep dark days to serve our people and to be that bank that obsesses about our journeys, both personally in our homes and our communities, but also as businessmen and women and enterprises that need to support our ambitions and aspirations in this country. And it's been 50 years of that. But you're correct that the last 2.5 decades prior the pandemic, or rather up until the pandemic, it has been a monoline retail lender. Mm-hmm. Some would even say it was more of a machinista than a bank. Mm-hmm. And so the story that you're reminding Abomkhaya about is important, because it is 4 years ago that we came on board and embarked on this journey to build from what we had, just a one monoline retail unsecured lender, to build a customer-centric, data digitally enabled, fully fledged bank that speaks to the purpose for which this bank was established for. Yeah. A bank that could back our people and our ambitions and entrepreneurs in this country like no other. And it was over 841 colleagues from all over the country who sent emails, who sent voice notes about what it means for them to embark on this direction of travel. And 4 years later, from 1.2 million customers, we are reporting 6.3 million now. Mm. From net assets of, or rather gross assets of about 25 billion, mm-hmm. we're talking 58 billion of assets today. Mm-hmm. From actually only relying on institutional funding, which is high risk and expensive funding, we now have over 40 billion of funding, most of which comes from customers.
Yes.
This is a transformation that is backed by customers. They're showing it with their numbers, they're voting with their feet, but also backed by investors in how they're supporting us and making sure that our balance sheet is strong. We had to be clear. There are things that we could build ourselves, mm-hmm. but there are things that we had to go out and buy as mm-hmm. capabilities that would help us fast track this journey. And we're delighted that we've had the support of the board, but also South Africans in this journey.
Definitely. Let's talk about some of those bolt-on acquisitions that you participated in over the last few years, the likes of UBank and subsequently Grindrod Bank. In a moment, I do want to talk about Sasfin as well as the commercial property involvement that you've got there. But UBank as well as Grindrod certainly underscore and provide the bedrock for business banking and your expansion there. Not just business banking for ourselves as entrepreneurs, but also in terms of your reach when it comes to corporates and assisting with deals and negotiations and potentially listings as well in the future, which is part of the opportunity that might exist there. I'm quite intrigued to take a look at, you know, now that the dust is settled, integration has been finalized, what kind of opportunities are you identifying within that space?
Well, you touched on a very good point. So we did not go out to acquire for acquiring sake.
Yes.
I'm so Pac-Man. We actually were quite disciplined in saying, how do you build a fully fledged retail business and commercial bank that can do the things that you've just said? The stuff that we could do ourselves, digitization, training our staff, IT investments. I mean, this year, cost up 25% on IT. This is part of these big investments that we are doing. And one-offs, but important. But stuff that you could do yourself. And then there's stuff that would take us forever to build and to get. So we bought it. Grindrod Bank, we got commercial and industrial property finance capability.
Yes.
We got guardrails in transactional banking. We got very good entry into conveyances and trust and law firms and very good capability. But it wasn't the full suite.
Yes.
It is at Sasfin where we got commercial development finance capability. We got trade and data finance capability. We got capital equipment finance capability that allows us not only to support entrepreneurs in terms of yellow equipment, but asset office asset finance and stuff that you need for tools of trade. Now, it is all of these capabilities that we're systematically putting together so that we can offer our customers the backing that they need. We also got an investment bank in Grindrod,
yes.
Which enables us to play with equity in MES, with prefs, and structure transactions, particularly in acquisition of equity for BE players that are complex but are actually doable. With our balance sheet, we power these capabilities that, you know, were there in these small banks, but just do not have the balance sheet to back it.
100%. I find this so intriguing and, of course, a beautiful opportunity just in terms of the transition of African Bank, but it almost seems as though the timing as well. I know the macroeconomic conditions are not something that you try to work with, but you work around them because they're ever-changing and evolving. But it does seem as though there's a heightened level of optimism regarding growth in South Africa. We recently saw the upgrades from S&P. As a ratings agency. Interest rates have also been cut. Inflation target also now being set at 3%, give or take 1%. It almost seems as though you've positioned yourself uniquely to actually capitalize on what could be this growth spurt that South Africa might go into. And I'm keen to explore what that means specifically for black entrepreneurs in your customer base.
You know, I would be lying if I said we saw it coming. We're really lucky that it just, you know, as we embarked on this strategy, it took forever for the post-COVID trading environment to improve. And so, you know, the likes of UBank and Grindrod Bank kind of had their back against the wall and we could, you know, come in and acquire them. We all know what happened with Sasfin, a great bank, but a really unfortunate one-off that enabled them to review their banking presence, you know, and so we're able to snatch all of that. And we're able to use the surplus capital and liquidity that we have to bolt all of these things together. And, I mean, we made over 7.6 billion rands of total income this year.
Yes.
You know, not too many tier two banks do that. But we also have the latitude to have spent over 5 billion in the investments that I've just spoken about. Something we've not touched on, Gooks, which is really a key feature as well for this year is that I'm going big in home loan solutions.
Yes.
For the middle tier,
yes,
you know, for that missing class. So we acquired a business of Africa Direct, 70-odd highly skilled colleagues in Cape Town who will help us in this home loan space. As you know, we've acquired the Eskom finance book.
Yes.
When that lands in the next month or so, it will enable us to enter the home loans space in a remarkable way for our select markets. Now, these things we now have in-house. 6.3 million customer franchise, all of these capabilities. We have the wherewithal, given the much more conducive trading conditions you've just described, we've got an opportunity to extract value from them,
mm-hmm,
and actually build the kind of ROE, net profit after tax, that enables entrepreneurs out there to find a compelling listing proposition for us. To say this is not me being emotional about the Black Bank and our bank. No, no, no. This is how African Bank compares profit, ROE.
Yes.
This is how it compares in terms of dividend payouts. This is how it compares to all the other players out there.
Yes.
This is why I've got to buy this bank and own it.
I'm glad that you touched on that, because it's almost as though you knew where I was headed with my next question, right? Talking about the necessary investments you've made, which is a sense of equity, that at some point will translate into return on equity, a very important metric in terms of the valuation and performance of a bank. I do understand that this currently sits, what, at single digits for,
yep,
African Bank, but what are the prospects, and are there timelines as to expectations and forecasts we have?
So our forecasts are very clear. We think we're not going to be it's great that we've more than doubled the balance sheet. It's great that we've got so much liquidity and capital safe. It's great that we are at the credit levels that you've referred to, you know, in the 6%. But we need to get our ROE in the mid and late teens.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get our cost to income ratio below 50%, because these are things that we're lagging today because of the decision to invest.
Mm-hmm.
But the investment period has got to come to an end at some point, and we've got to extract value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't just be making the top line so strong, it's got to permeate right through to the bottom line, because then you show evidence to investors that you are a compelling proposition for them.
Does that mean no more acquisitions in the short to medium term?
Huh?
Ah, huh? Want to break some
what
news here?
What it does mean, what it does mean, though, is that it's time for consolidation.
Yes.
It's time for extraction of value. The last time anyone could speak to South African schools about buying four banks and merging them was in the early 90s when the Amalgamated Banks of South Africa,
yes,
were formed. You know, it's a 30-year, once in 30-year kind of event. I'm not going to repeat that many a times. It's time to consolidate. It's time now to deliver the returns that shareholders really do expect after having backed us with such big heavy lifting in the last 4 years.
You're piquing my interest now, because when you say consolidate, I'm also aware that there's a level of reforms within the laws regarding payments, specifically between banked and non-banking financial institutions. A few of your peers in the industry, like Bank Zero and Lesaka, already engaged in a transaction, mm-hmm, there. Is there potential here for African Bank to actually, you know, find a way of actually partnering with a peer or play in the industry, especially when it comes to payments specifically?
No, I'm glad you raised that, because we you know, when you look at bank strategies and mission statements, they tend to look the same, right? You could almost,
yeah,
you know, put them in a whitewash them, and they'd all say the same things. One of the things that's unique about our strategy that we adopted in 2021 was this idea that we want to be the go-to partner for fintechs, go-to partner for non-bank financial institutions, go-to partner for telcos, for insurance companies. We want to create alliance banking ecosystems,
mm-hmm,
that allow for us to exploit the convergence of technology, the convergence of other industries, the change in legislation and regulations that enable us to serve our customers better and to get our banking capability into other people's customers as well. We're,
yes,
deliberate about that.
Okay.
And so no wonder that something like MTN, which is a super company, right? Mm-hmm. Has chosen us as their partner in South Africa, their biggest market. You know, they work with other banks everywhere else, but here it's us because of this intent. It is backed not just by a culture of collaboration, but also by the fact that we've got a core banking IT system with very little legacy.
Mm.
So you can actually have an omni-channel capability that allows API plug and play, and therefore to support new players in the market.
Mm.
We're saying the more the merrier. Our people are underserved anyway.
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing where you're going with this, because fundamentally what we are seeing is that convergence, right? Banks are no longer just banks. They also provide value-added services. Some have MVNOs, mobile virtual network operations, to provide telecommunication services. The telcos themselves also playing within the financial services space. So there's a very clear avenue and area of alignment there. Should we expect any marriage between African Bank and MTN?
No proposals, no courtship, no marriages as yet. We just work together with people.
Gotcha.
You know, and so we are one of the fastest growing partners to ShopRite Checkers.
Yes.
We still hold the sponsorship to Lesaka, mm-hmm. you know, and there will be more of such gigs as technology convergence forces fintechs to work better with banks,
mm-hmm.
as legislation changes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we one of the biggest promoters of PayShap.
Yes.
And that's because it did not cannibalize anything for us. We promoted it because it's good for our people and it's a new revenue stream, which if you're in an established play, you're cannibalizing yourself.
Exactly. But you mentioned something so important. I recall having a conversation earlier today around financial inclusion, and it does seem as though there are all these interventions where everyone is trying to ensure that we do open up a lot more opportunities for at least 16 million South Africans who sit at the periphery of economic participation. And innovations like the likes of PayShap, I can imagine, have been incredibly competitive for a bank like African Bank. Many still bemoan the fact that perhaps there isn't a great awareness around it, and also the costs that might be involved between the different institutions. So perhaps putting you into a corner to address the conversation around access, inclusion, but also commercial interest, as you are a private entity.
Well, I think the argument has been held, hey? Transformation and financial inclusion is not just to be a two goody two shoes. It's actually good for the economy as a whole, and as the economy as a whole grows, our commercials should improve, mm-hmm. if we play smart,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we're at. We are a creature of inclusion. This is why we were formed as African Bank, and so we want to master that space and actually get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the banks you've referred to, which I shall not repeat, many of them came in and continue as zero fee banks, mm-hmm. and as offering this freebie and that freebie. We're saying good for them. But because we play the long game in terms of inclusion,
yes.
we want our people to value, to measure what we do, value it, and pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And pay for it because it makes sense for them to do so. And that is how we believe you sustain interventions like inclusion going forward. And it's not just an effort or something that is, you know, tick a BE box somewhere or an EE plan somewhere. It's something that becomes part of who you are. And we can say this not with arrogance, but with the humility that Tina, we were created for this.
Mm-hmm.
We're created by black entrepreneurs who wanted inclusion, wanted a bank that would ensure that it backs their companies, it backs their communities, backs their marketplaces. And so this is who we are. It's not an extra. It's not something else, you know, that is imposed by politicians or so forth.
Got you. Important points that you do mention there, and it does drive me to another theme that we once discussed, which is the potential listing that was meant to take place this year in 2025, pushed down further down the road, if I'm not mistaken. Any clarity on the timelines there, and clarity in terms of why the delay?
Yeah. So, Gugs, we took a survey of investors, over 28 of them, and the feedback was very clear. The feedback was, guys, we like your story, we want you to list, we will back you, but actually we need to see a track record of what this animal looks like when you put all of these things together.
Uh-huh.
So give yourselves 3 years minimum of full annual financial results of a African Bank, post SESFIN, post UBank, post Grindrod, post Eskom, post all of these things that you pulled together, so that we can see, you know, how we model exactly. And so we've taken that to heart. The other feedback, of course, was that let's be clear that are we dealing with you, KGB, and your management team, or is it going to be somebody else? You know, so there's discussions around aligning shareholders' interests with management, with staff. I'm proud of the fact that every staff member at African Bank today is an owner. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're going to do something for management, we're going to do something for BE retail issuance. So
okay.
De-risk the IPO from a BE overhang. And so I'm looking at listing post the 2027 financial year results. It will be at least 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And market conditions allowing, we're looking to then come to the market and present our story with these three results that show what is the transformed state of the bank's performance looks like.
Makes sense. Got you. Mr. Pungane, I've got some very clever friends and they love listening to the show as well, and they're intrigued by your work. So this one is from a good friend of mine who happens to be an economist, Sfisos Kenjana. He asks a question for KGB. What is African Bank's endowment effect given interest rate environment? The current interest rate environment.
Trust Fiso to come with something like that.
He's a smart guy.
Look, I mean, you touched on it. The reduction of our inflation target to 3%, yes, not only manages expectations, long-term expectations of inflation lower, but also sends a clear message that there's confidence in terms of monetary policy that where we are today is sustainable. Eh? And that is huge for a bank like us,
mm-hmm,
that is a big net interest income earner because of the size of our advances.
Yes.
I said to you earlier, we grew across our assets by 17% to 58 billion this year. The endowment effect is powerful for us. This year, most of those of that growth came from business and commercial,
mm-hmm,
and not from retail, because we had muted our growth there as we clean up that franchise.
Gotcha.
The 7.6 billion that we have, only 2.1 billion of it comes from non-interest income. So the impact of the endowment effect is almost in the 5 billion. That is the remaining amount of our total income that we've earned in the year. I expect to benefit a bit better from it next year,
mm-hmm,
when we back ourselves back into retail lending, because you know you've got higher interest charge there. You can charge much higher interest rate,
mm-hmm,
and the endowment effect will bonus us in the new year.
Got you. Changing environment and of course some outcomes that we can look forward to. Mr. Pungane, I could speak to you all day. Are you running on Saturday? That's my last question.
I will be there supporting the bank on Saturday.
Are you running?
There will be some running, some walking. There'll be lots of good times.
Oh, lovely. They definitely will be.
Now, I've been doing 10Ks for the last 3 years. I think another 10K this year.
Okay, fantastic. We'll hold you to it. We'll be supporting as well. I'm hoping I can make it, but we'll We'll see. Kumba says he's doing 42. I'm not too sure.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Boza.
Take care of him. Take care of him if you see him on Saturday.
We'll have a good after party at Wendy's, so you must come.
Definitely. That is the CEO of African Bank, Kennedy Bongane, joining us to unpack the company's results and more so strategy and just where it is now as a diversified player within the South African business space, having operations both in business, commercial banking, retail, as it has grown and enhanced the level of discipline there, especially when it comes to credit allocation, but more so unlocking opportunity as well within the property and commercial space. KGB, CEO of African Bank.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.